Today, Pastor Ray Bentley talks directly to kids about honoring and obeying parents.
If you're rebellious and you thumb your nose at mom and dad now, you're probably going to thumb your nose at all authority, whether it's your teacher, your boss, policeman. And if you grow up that way, you might as well have plucked your eyes out because you're walking blind in this world. You are cruising for a bruising, is how we would say it.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It seems every other magazine on the rack has something to say about family life. There's always fresh ideas or new answers. But today, Pastor Ray points out the real answers are found in the wisdom that's as old as the family itself. Instruction today on how to find harmony in the home. Let's listen.
The title of the message is Christian Family Life, and we're going to look through verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will take the word and reach deeply into our hearts to understand it, to agree with it, to apply it to our lives, to let it become part of the fabric and fiber of who we are, and then to receive the benefits and the blessings and the promise of a wonderful life in Christ. May the church hear what the Spirit says to her this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Paul begins and he addresses children directly. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Can I have an amen out there from the parents? Isn't that a great verse? "And honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." And I think that we would all say amen to that as well. Now, there are two reasons for this call to honor and obey our parents. And I've put them in your notes. The first is there is a natural law of children obeying their parents that God has just kind of written into the genetic code of human existence. Or as Paul puts it, "For this is right." And I think that we would generally agree, and it's interesting that essentially every culture and every society is built on the premise that children ought to obey their parents. When Paul was describing, when he wrote a letter to the church in Rome and he was talking about what he visibly saw in the early days of the church, he saw the Roman Empire was at its zenith in reach, influence, and power, and at the same time was disintegrating from the inside. With all their military might, with all their, at that time, technology, they could not hold the empire together because they collapsed from within. And Paul kind of gives a list of what the signs were of the decay and the disease that would ultimately bring a terminal situation to the Roman Empire. And as he lists all these various things, you come down to Romans chapter 1, verse 30, and he says there, disobedience to parents. What Paul witnessed in the early days of the church is a Roman culture that was frayed and crumbling and falling, as I've mentioned. But now he's got these little groups, whether in Corinth, Greece, or Rome, Italy, wherever it may have been. And there are Jews who have the law of God. They've got what we call the Old Testament. They've got Genesis to Malachi. They've got God's word and instruction for how to raise families. But the pagans coming in that have a Roman background and kind of the pagan culture, there were a lot of problems. Some of you are better historians than I am about the way families lived, society, the way children were dealt with and treated and so forth. It was really bad. And so many of these, though, would hear, there was a conviction, they knew something was missing or wrong, they would hear either Paul or Peter or James or John hear the gospel, they would get saved, and now they're coming into either a small synagogue, maybe a house church, and they're hearing now the teaching of the Word of God. And Paul is realizing that he's got a lot of families that have a lot of bad habits from their pagan backgrounds that have crept into now the community of the church. So he's teaching some of these families for the very first time. And I would say this, that, well, first of all, let me ask, how many of you, we all have parents, how many of you can honestly admit this morning that your parents were not absolutely perfect? Raise your hand, let me see. Okay, so the reality is that when we get saved, it's not only that we are emotionally and spiritually bankrupt and we come to salvation in Christ, but we've got some brokenness and maybe some bad habits as good and maybe with as good of positive things, there's always some negative things. And the church then is made up of broken people who then are part of or have been part of imperfect or broken families. So church becomes a place of reparenting. It's a place where there are things that need to be changed, there are habits that need to be broken, there are patterns that need to be set aside, there are new habits that need to be incorporated, there is a need for teaching and instruction, and the very first thing that you discover is that you have a heavenly Father, and this heavenly Father is perfect. He always loves you, no matter what. The foundation of your relationship with him is grace. It's not performance. It's not if you do this and perform, then I love you. No, it's I love you. And I love you unconditionally, and it's that unconditional love that frees you now to listen to me because I have your best interests in mind. My advice is going to benefit you and prosper you and bless you out of your mind. I've got plans for you, and if we walk together, it's going to be the most exciting thing in your whole life. So we begin with that, but then that needs to also filter out into our human families and relationships. So there is, Paul says, children in all families now that are part of the body of Christ. Here is a heavenly principle, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The second reason that we ought to honor and obey our parents is not only is it in agreement with natural law, but with divine law. So Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments, and he brings that now into a context where there are both Jew and Gentile within the body of Christ. And he says, hey, guys, all of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament, by the way. But now it's not outward, external performance, but it's a law that's written in the heart that actually transforms our character and our nature, and we actually have his spirit on the inside of us. And that's the difference in the new covenant. But Paul does give this commandment, and it is a blessing. There's a promise of blessing for those who will obey this commandment. Now, there are very practical reasons for this. And verses 2 and 3 tell us, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So now Paul's giving a practical reason why children should obey their parents, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Paul says then, if you will obey your parents, you will not only live well, but you will live long. And that is a general principle, and I'm going to describe what that means, because there's some that will say, well, wait a second, I know a Christian family and they had a child and they died when they were young. Yes, I realize that that happens, and Paul realizes that. But there is a general principle that is logical and practical that children who obey their parents live longer and healthier lives. Number one, parents protect children. Parents have a built-in desire to protect their little ones, and it doesn't take long. When they're little babies, they're totally dependent. Then they first roll over. My grandson Benjamin just rolled over by himself for the first time, and his eyes got really big, like, okay, here I come. So then I've got my little Bentley that's like 2 and a half, and she can now walk, and she thinks she can talk. But she gets into dangerous situations. You'll see her running, maybe with a sharpened pencil. And, you know, so you're reaching over and trying to grab her and say, no, honey, you can't do that. You're going to hurt yourself, or you're going to stab your brother or something. Well, it is logical then that children that are in homes where parents who love them, watch over them, and protect them are going to live a longer life. Also, a child who obeys will be spared the habits of bad friends, especially as they grow older. When you start getting into junior high and high school age, there's a strange thing that happens. First of all, somewhere beginning in junior high, and then it becomes confirmed by the time they're in high school, all of a sudden, every kid reaches a stage where they are a great philosopher. Have you noticed? And they know just about everything, and they certainly know more than you. And as a parent, all of a sudden, you become an idiot. Gosh, you know, you're nothing to them. So you have this difficult time trying to, you're wanting to capture them, and you notice that they may be hanging out with bad friends. Now, that certainly happened with my kids. I'm a pastor. These kids were raised in the church. They've heard the gospel since they're little. Yes, they had prayed the sinner's prayer. But to, you know, really get it into the heart, it was a battle. It was a struggle. And starting in junior high and going into the high school years, man, these two were running. They were prodigals, and they were fast. So Vicky and I began to pray, you know, Lord, help us. What in the world are we going to do? And we noticed they were hanging out with some friends that we didn't like or approve of. And so Vicky came to me one day, and she said, well, she goes, I think that it's time we do something. I said, okay, what are we going to do? And she goes, I think what we need to do is we need to get a pool table. And we had just arranged our family room. It was just, you know, all the furniture was just right. I had my recliner just set perfect, you know, and the remote was right where I wanted it, and it was just ideal. And she said, I want to sell everything or give it away that we have in the family room. I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? She goes, I want to get a pool table. A pool table? What do you want to get a pool table for? She goes, we got to do something to get our kids and their friends to come here so we can keep an eye on them, see what's going on. So I said, okay, I'll pray about it. Next thing I know, the furniture's gone. And so then we go into Poway, and we go to they've got a billiard shop there, and so we buy this used big old pool table, and we buy the little rack, you know, that's got the sticks and the chalk and everything, and it just is amazing. All of a sudden, my family room's a pool hall. And so then Vicky says, okay, well, now we need to, I need to get some food for these kids. I said, well, how much is that going to cost? She goes, don't worry about it. Right. So she goes, and she goes to Price Club, and she stocks that thing with every teenager's dream of chips and dips and salsas and sodas of every kind. So the next thing I know, my kids, and their scruffy little friends are hanging out at our house all the time. And so I said, Vicky, look. And they're breaking stuff. And she goes, I know, but they're here. That's what we wanted. I said, it is? So there they are. They're there every day. Okay, there they are. And so then one day she goes, go out there and play pool with them. I said, I'm not going to go out there and play pool with them. They don't want me going out there playing pool with them. She goes, go out there and play pool with them. So I walked out there, you know, and so they're kind of looking at me, and I got in line. You have to get in line. So I'm in line, finally, it's my turn, and I'm gone. And you know, I don't know if reflection on me or the kids or whatever, but, you know, at first, I'm just kind of hitting it, and then all of a sudden, you know, some guy wraps one into the corner, and so I kind of, you know, little competitive come out, you know, and I want to make a good shot, and then I'd line one up, and, you know, they go, okay, preacher, they call me preacher, and so... See how so I would hit it and I'd scuff it and it would go sideways or knock the eight ball in or whatever, you know, and I go, oh, like that. And they would look at me and they go, oh, you want to cuss, don't you? Come on, go ahead, go, let it go. Come on, preach. Woo, we want to hear the preacher cuss. I was like, oh, sheesh, you know? So I come back out, I'm in the kitchen again, you know, So Vicky goes, now, you need to go and, you know, like, share with them a little bit. I go, what do you mean share with them? They don't want to hear me share anything. She goes, no, go out there, just share. I said, what am I going to share? She goes, I don't know, just go share. So I come back out, and they've been around for a while, and so I said, well, okay, you guys, you know that I'm a pastor, and I said, what I really want to do is I want to take an offering to pay for all the food you're eating in my house. But anyway, can't say that. But I said, I started asking him questions, you know, like, all right, you know, what do you like? What are you into? I'm into surfing. Oh, you're into surfing. Why? Well, my brother, he took me when I was 10, and I got into it, and I like it, and I like, you know, and so I just ask questions and listen, and talk to another guy. What do you like? What are you into? I'm into dirt bikes, and there's nothing like, you know, going out into the desert and, you know, all of this, and so I've just found out what each one of them was into and what they liked, and amazingly, just asking questions and kind of letting them tell their stories, there was kind of a bond that started happening. Kind of a joking, teasing, competitive, but friendly bond. And then finally one day I said, okay, let me just, you guys got any questions about God? So they're like, oh no, rolling their eyes, here we go, you know. And so then finally they start taking shots like, well, first of all, the reason I don't go to church is, you know, all the hypocrites, you know. And so we deal with that. And then they say, well, if there really is a God of love, then why does he allow, you know, this or that or whatever was happening at the time. So then we would get into a dialogue. I'd share a little bit. Then they'd ask another question, make another challenge, and we just talked. And amazingly, they started, I think at first they came over to hang out and free food and pool, and then they had fun messing with me. And then I think by the end they were coming because they were getting something, and it was meaningful. And I see the fruit of that now, some years later, in these little rascals' lives as they've grown up and gone on and gotten married. And so, what am I saying? Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that everybody go out and buy a pool table. What I'm saying is make your home, if you can, especially during those years about junior high through high school, and make it your home a destination, if you can. This is not, you know, from the Apostle Paul. This is from me. Sometimes Paul would say, now this isn't the Lord, but this is my advice and my encouragement. And so from our experience, I share that with you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. And Proverbs 10:27, let's read that. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 30:17, let's read that. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Now listen, okay, I like that. Somebody said, ew. I like that. That's an honest response from an American. Because have you noticed when you read the Bible, this is not written in American culture? How many have found that to be true? This doesn't relate to American culture. Let me let you in on a little secret. It wasn't written by Americans. It was... We read through the lens of our own, culture. But there's another culture, and I want to try to explain to you Middle Eastern culture and the way they think, the way that they write, the way that the Bible was written. Because a lot, I know the experience of many of you, you read stuff and you go, The reason that it is written the way that it is first of all, it's written very visually, and it is written very emotionally. It's written very poetically as well as very prophetically. And the idea is the very, when you cringe or go, ooh, that is exactly why it was written. Because that reaction is a gut reaction. It's an emotional reaction. And whatever touches you emotionally makes an imprint, you remember it. Now, when your Proverbs is especially good for kids that are growing up and needing to learn about wisdom, and it talks a lot about listening and obeying your parents and so forth. Now, let me tell you the experience with these high school rascals. We'd go through and read Proverbs 4:10. Hey, if you listen to what I say and it'll add years to your life, okay, obey your parents, yeah. Then we come to Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father that scorns obedience to a mother will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley. And they're like, I like that verse, all right. Yeah, the bird's going to pick your eyes out, and they joke about it and they laugh about it, but they make a big deal out of it. And then what you get to explain to them is, hey, now is this literally saying that if you don't listen to your mom and dad, a bird's going to come peck your eye out? No. But it's a picture and it's a metaphor, and here's the emotional impact of that. If you're rebellious and you thumb your nose at mom and dad now, you're probably going to thumb your nose at all authority, whether it's your teacher, whether it's your boss, whether it's the policeman. And if you grow up that way, you might as well have plucked your eyes out, because you're walking blind in this world. You're going to get steamrolled. You're going to get smashed. You're going to get run over. You're going to get wiped out. You are cruising for a bruising, is how we would say it. So when you think of it in that, and I'm sure all of you know somebody who grew up with that rebellious, I don't listen to nobody. I do what I want to do. And they're so arrogant, they're walking blind and they crash and burn. That's exactly what Proverbs is saying. That's what he's talking about. And it gives you a visual image that, okay, now that makes sense. And you remember it.
Pastor Ray Bentley is offering biblical instruction to kids and their parents. It's part of our Ephesians studies here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Christian Family Life. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
That's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy, son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
He is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.